I'd like for you to please turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. If some of the things that you hear this morning remind you of some of the things that you've heard in the past, you will be right. But I don't think any of us have ever exhausted the things that God says in His Word. And it is one of the things that what I have to say today, or what I have studied, are the things that I think are the most important that are written in the Word of God for us as believers. And that is, to put it in my words, read our Bibles and pray. And what we're going to read and look at this morning is how the Lord Jesus says that. Read your Bible and pray. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning to read at verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious or careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive every one that is indebted to us. That may be different in your version, but that's a new way, or probably a more correct way of saying what the old King James Version says. And they're very important words. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you that though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a demon, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the demon was gone out, the dumb spoke, and the people marveled. Verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor in which he trusted and divided his spoils. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his precious word. All of what I've read is related. We know it's all true because it is forms a part of the Holy Scriptures, but it's all related. The Lord Jesus gives us a story and then gives us something to illustrate what he said. You won't find me telling many stories today. I normally do. It helps me to understand the Scriptures, but the Bible in this passage is its own interpreter. The Lord Jesus says, pray thus. And then he says, you know, if you were a man who had a friend come to visit you at midnight, you would go across the road and ask your neighbor to help you. And in that is the illustration which we shall come to shortly. The passage begins with these words, "It came to pass as they went." If you look at Luke chapter 9, I think it's verse 51, it says, "And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." The Lord Jesus always had Jerusalem and the cross on his heart and on his mind, because he had you and me on his mind. And what he was going to do for us would be accomplished at Calvary. But there came a specific time in his ministry when he turned physically from where he was and looked towards Jerusalem and then started to walk back to the city. Now, if you leave that verse and go over to the one that we began, "Now it came to pass as they went." This is one of the things that happened as the Lord Jesus went on his way toward Jerusalem. He came to the house, a house that he knew, people that he knew, Mary and Martha and Lazarus of Bethany. Lazarus is not mentioned in this particular story. We find Mary sitting at the Lord Jesus' feet, and we find Martha serving. Mary is right, Martha is wrong. And now, without explanation, there's something wrong with that, because serving is what you and I are supposed to be doing today, serving the Lord. But there is a place for serving, and there's a time not to serve. You see, if the Lord Jesus loves you and me enough to come to us, and he did, and he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is, then the least we can do is take time to listen to what he has to say to us. Mary agreed with that, and that's what she did. In this story, the meal probably had already been served. The cooking was done. Martha, I'm sure, and Mary both were busy that day. The Lord Jesus had come, and because he was who he was, they, in their own hearts, determined that he deserved the very best that they can give. And so Martha served. She bought, she cooked, she set the table, she undoubtedly put out her best. But sometime during that day, when Jesus was reclining somewhere in the house, Mary decided that the Lord is not going to be here very long, and I want to hear what he has to say. And because the Lord Jesus honored what she did, we have to come to the conclusion that that was the right thing to do. And of course, if you apply that to today, we would have to say that more important than the service that we can give is the attention that we can give to what the Lord has to say. You see, what it boils down to, and that's what this entire passage is talking about, is you and I setting our priorities. There's absolutely nothing wrong with service. The Lord Jesus will honor those who serve him to the point where he will, in his kingdom, gird himself with a towel and serve those of us who have labored for him here. While he was here, he girded himself with a towel and washed his disciples' feet. So he is not condemning service. He says that better part, or that good part, is what Mary wanted, and it will not be taken. Now, if you and I were Martha, well, I've drawn this conclusion. I would have been angry with Mary with Martha's mindset. I'm serving, I'm working, I'm sweating, she's listening. So it would be toward Mary that I probably would address my dissatisfaction, to put it mildly. But Martha didn't. Martha went to the Lord. Not only did she disagree with what Mary was doing, she disagreed with what the Lord was allowing, and in so doing, placed him in a position that she felt he was doing something that was wrong, encouraging Martha to do what was wrong, and that was not helping her. So she walks up to the Lord and says to the one, and you know, this, even if she felt that her dealings were right, this thought should have made Martha realize she was wrong. He is God. Do you know that she knew that? Martha was not a person who didn't love the Lord Jesus. Read John chapter 11. Lazarus has died. The first person the Lord Jesus meets when he gets near the house is Martha. If you had been here, Lord, my brother had not died. She believed that he had the power over death. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And she said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ that should come into the world. Martha knew who the Lord Jesus was and loved him. And that alone should have made her realize that what she was saying was wrong. But like you and me, we have our priorities. And we don't want our lifestyle and our habits and the things that we have decided in our own hearts are the right things to do and the right way to be changed by anyone, even if it's the Lord Jesus. And I think we can say that from this chapter, from this passage, without any fear of contradiction, because she contradicted the Lord. Mary has chosen that good part which should not be taken away. If you left from here today and went home and found the Lord Jesus Christ standing in a corner of your house, what effect would that have upon you? What effect would that have upon me? Well, we know that's not going to happen. So we can breathe a sigh of relief. We will not be facing him today. But are we? I think we do. I think we do every day of our lives. Let me preface what I'm going to say now with this remark. This applies more to me than to anyone in the room. If I were to walk into my house today, and he were standing at the door or over in the back of the room in a corner, I would have to change, or I would have to ask him to leave. I would have to do one or the other. And that's a sad indictment upon us as believers. Could I say everything that I normally say with the Lord Jesus standing at my side? Can I do everything that I normally do as I normally do it with the Lord Jesus standing at my side? Can I watch everything that I normally watch with the Lord Jesus standing at my side? If I say no to any of those things, then I am sitting in a much further situation than Martha was away from the Lord Jesus, because at least she was serving him. The priority that the Lord Jesus wants us to place at the very top, as far as our lives are concerned, is we should be sitting at his feet. And in today's culture, that would be taking this book, which should be frayed and worn, or maybe three or four already worn out, as we have sit and listen to what the Lord Jesus has to say for us. You won't find it anywhere else. You'll find it to a certain extent here in the chapel among friends that you talk about the Lord with. But to the extent that we need to know what he has to say, we will find it only here. And I've got some news for you, probably not news. If you were, and if I were today, to take that little thought about his being in the room with us, and so conduct our lives that we would always please him, out there you would be scorned and laughed at. And often by Christians. Because your walk and your talk would echo the delight of his heart. And there wouldn't be one shady story, one unkind thought, etc., 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 that would ever happen if we were totally and completely in line with the Lord Jesus. The greatest thing that has ever been given to man is the words and thoughts of the Lord Jesus. And we are wise if we act upon them. Secondly, after listening to him, the next most important thing, in my opinion, that God has ever given to mankind is the ability to talk ourselves to God. And that's exactly what happens in our passage. The Lord Jesus talks to Mary, And the next passage says that the disciples saw him praying and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so the Lord did. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. When we pray, we have to remember that the most important thing in this universe is the character of God. There is absolutely nothing that compares with the name and character and the holiness of God. And when we bow in His presence, the first thing, if our priorities are right, is that we will acknowledge in His presence and to those around us that His name is holy and reverent and hallowed and to be set apart, regarded as the most holy thing in the universe. If we don't do that, and if we in any way devalue the character and worth of God, we devalue everything on earth that is good because He made everything. And if you, as some people do, decide that He doesn't exist or isn't worth anything, then everything that is of value is lost. There's nothing left. God being the author of all that is good, if He is of no value, then nothing is of any value. And men today have said absolutely no to God. They deny His very existence. And as a result, their end will be nothingness in terms of His goodness and eternal perdition in terms of what they have decided to do. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Putting His kingdom before earthly kingdoms. Putting the things of God before the things of men. One day, the kingdom of God will come upon this earth, and the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. There will be no sin. So just like when Abraham was promised by God that the every place that his foot would walk upon would become, actually was his in his generations. That didn't happen in full, even though there was no doubt that it was going to happen, and it has not yet happened in full. It will happen in full when the Lord returns and He is acknowledged as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords by His entire creation. But because of their unbelief, they did not come into the possession of all that He had for them. And that's the way you and I are to some extent. We need not only to say, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, but to live in such a way that the anticipation of His coming kingdom is that which motivates us. And then we will not be afraid of the scorn and shame that we will get if we live for Him as He wants us to. He died for you and for me. Spittle and blood flowed down His blessed face for you and for me. A crown of thorns was pressed upon His brow. Is there anything that I can do that would cause me to turn away from Him? Because of how people view my devotedness to Him? Yes. Unfortunately, there is. Because if it didn't, I would be spending much more time and expending much more energy in my service and devotion to Him. But it will come. But it will come. It's as true as His name and as true as it is His word. One day, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, will be crowned on this earth. He will occupy the throne of David, great David's greatest son, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of the end. He that shall come will come and shall not tarry. And if you like John, as he closes the entire word of God, he says, Even so, come Lord Jesus. That's supposed to be the heart feeling within us, moment by moment, day by day. That should be what motivates us to do what we do. If we put those two things in front, then we have the right to ask according to the pattern prayer, often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Next, give us this day our daily bread. Three things we ask for: daily bread, forgiveness, and deliverance from trials of tomorrow. Daily bread, without that, you wouldn't have to worry about forgiveness because you won't be here. You won't have the strength. You'll die. So there's nothing wrong with putting that at the beginning of the list when we ask for the blessings for ourselves. Give us this day our daily bread, the things that we need for today so that our lives can exist and be happy. That's what we ask for. Look at what He gives us. Look at what He gives us. Are we aware, in the way that we should be, that all of these things are His gifts? Here again, I challenge your heart as I challenge mine. Nothing that we have is ours by right. You know where you'd be. I know where I would be if I got my rights. He took my rights. And He gave me and He gave you His righteousness. Give us this day our daily bread. And He gave us all that you know that you have and all that you know this community has. Are we special people? Oh, in a way, I suppose we are. But not because of deserts, but because of the absolute goodness of God. You don't deserve, and I don't deserve, any more than the starving children all over the world. Why did He give me so much? I'll tell you why. So that we could honor Him with it. So that we could take it and use it. So that His name would be glorified and hallowed. As He tells us to ask in the first part of this prayer. That's why He did it. And if you look at the condensed prayer, you take all the prayers of the world and you put them together like this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. You give God His due with what you have. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. Take what you have and I have and give to those in need. We will be keeping God's law. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. Without that, we wouldn't be here. Without His ability to do it, we wouldn't be here. Without the simple faith of a child, we wouldn't be here. Thank you, Lord, for giving us for the sins of the past. What about the sins of tomorrow? Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. And I shake my head in shame. A conditional prayer, yes. Forgive me, Lord, when I am not prepared. With all that I have done against Him and His word, that I am not prepared to forgive my brother or my sister some little thing that they have said or done, that I have often even misunderstood. They don't even deserve to be. They've done nothing to deserve forgiveness, but I have conjured in my mind that they do, and am unwilling to forgive, while at the same time demanding of God that He forgive me. James says, that's a double-minded man. And God will not hear. This is His words. That man will receive nothing from the Lord. Be sincere. He is sincere. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and He gives to all men liberally and does not upbraid. It's simple. Just ask. He's liberal. He excludes nobody. He is sincere. What He asks of us, that we be sincere as well. And then the Lord Jesus takes that prayer and puts it into shoe leather. Who shall have a friend who at midnight needs something for his friend who has come to visit him and doesn't go to his neighbor? If you consider this to be a Middle Eastern or an Eastern custom, you'll be right. Hospitality is of so is of utmost importance. And so at midnight, he goes to his friend's house and neighbor's house and knocks. And he doesn't stop until he gets what he asks for. And I believe of all of the things that I can say about this little story, that is the most important. He goes and knocks, and his friend says, I'm in bed. His neighbor says, I'm in bed. My children are with me. I'm not coming down. And he doesn't stop. He doesn't stop until he has bread to give to his friend who has visited him. Is that how we pray? Do we pray so that our neighbors hear us? Because the neighbors would have heard this carrying on, I'm sure. If I were to tell you that I believe every prayer that I have ever given or said, that I did not at some time have in mind the people who were around me and could hear me, I would be a liar. I have known as I prayed that people were listening to me. And if I stop because when I feel that I've said enough so that I've impressed them and sit down, my prayer doesn't go not to the ceiling. It doesn't go above my mouth. He prayed until he got what he asked for. And that is what the Lord Jesus wants us to understand. If you, in our society, had a child who was knocked down by a car in the middle of the night, would you go over to Dr. Bailey and knock on the door, and after 5 minutes, if he didn't get up, would you turn around and walk away, or would you be shameless in your persistence? I would be shameless in my persistence. And the Lord Jesus says that's what the word opportunity can be used as meaning. You need to be absolutely shameless. There are some things, and they happen in all of our lives, that we need to be absolutely ashamed of. He's not talking about those. He's talking about understanding a need so greatly and being so assured that that need is in the will of God that we have absolutely no shame whatsoever to keep knocking at His door until we receive that which we know is His will. And so we don't have to be ashamed. So tomorrow morning when I get up and I read the Bible and I bow my knees in my heart in prayer and I say, Lord, I want today that as I read Your Word and as I communicate with You that You give me an understanding of Your Word so that my life can be changed, so that I will walk anew with renewed understanding of Your Word, with renewed vigor in doing Your will. If I do that, and then on Tuesday morning I don't do it, I'm too busy. And this is the whole meaning of the entire passage. I'm too busy rearranging my priorities. I've got something to do for the Lord up at the chapel or down the road. I am insincere. I have forgotten what I asked for. And when I asked for it, I didn't determine to get it or to stay asking until God gave it to me. It's putting the prayer into day-to-day walking. Because as sure as we're sitting, as you're sitting in your seats and I'm standing here, if we pray without that sincerity and devotedness of heart, we will not get those things that we ask for. It's as simple as that. I've lived so much of my life in deprived Christian. I say it with shame. Deprived. Because I have asked, very sincerely when I ask, I really want today to know how to live for God and to enjoy His presence. But tomorrow things crowd out my desire and I just go on the way I did the years before. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. But I say to you, ask and continue asking. That's what the thrust of verse 9 is. Seek and continue seeking. Knock and continue to knock, and it shall be opened unto you. It will be given you. You shall find, and it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh in this way receiveth. And everyone that seeketh in this way findeth. And to him that knocketh in this way, that is described by the Lord Jesus, it shall be opened unto you. And not only is the sincerity of our request important, but the character of the one who we are asking is important. If the request is going to be given the right way. Verse 11, if a son asks you bread, will you give him a stone? Don't you know that if you as a father know how to give good gifts to your children, the Heavenly Father knows even better how to give gifts to His children. And as I close, that little and at first unconnected story at the end, verse 14, he cast out the dumb spirit out of a man. You know, we have five senses. Four of them are shared by all of the animal kingdom. Taste, smell, seeing, and hearing. One is common to man only, that of speech. And when Satan binds a man so that he can't talk, and that's what he did to this man, he's taken away that one thing, or one of the things, that makes him unique in God's creation. We've been talking about listening to the Lord Jesus. We've been talking about talking to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord says, but Satan wants to bind you so that you do not communicate with me. And as I came into this world, I little by little released some. But this is what he did in verse 21. When a strong man armed, keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. The strong man is the enemy, the devil. And those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior are kept in peace. What kind of peace? Dumb peace in prison. You remember what the Lord Jesus said at Capernaum, at Nazareth, when he first came, and he quoted Isaiah, I am come to bind up, to heal, to deliver from prison. And little by little, before he went to the cross, he let a few go. But when he died on the cross, this is what he did. Verse 22, but when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor in which he trusted. Our Lord Jesus Christ has come. And as the stronger man, as defeated the strong man, the devil, who is keeping people today in bondage. Look at the last phrase of that verse as I close. And divideth his spoils. Do you know what his spoils are? You and me. The Lord Jesus has reached down into the prison into which our sins placed us, released us by breaking the fetters of the strong man, defeating him, and then setting the prisoners free. Free to go our own way, to do our own thing, to enjoy ourselves. I don't think so. Free to obey him. But you say, that's captivity again. Thank God. Thank God. To be a captive of Jesus. My will is not my own till thou hast made it thine. If it would reach a monarch's throne, it must its crown resign. It only stands unbent amid the clashing strife when on thy bosom it is lent and found in thee. It's life. Oh, there are a lot of people saved that are not living the way we should for the Lord. But oh, what a joy. What an unspeakable joy. For our hearts, for the hearts of the Christians with whom we come in contact, and for the world lost in sin, that they see a glimpse of what living for the Lord Jesus is like as we show them by our manner of life, including our words, which we've talked about so much this morning. By our manner of life, we show forth the praises of him who hath loved us, brought us out of darkness into his most marvelous light.
May this be our heart's desire. As we face this new year, may we be challenged to walk step by step with the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, we understand a little, just a little, of your power and might and goodness, your gentleness with us who are so often disobedient. But we come to acknowledge who you are today and to thank you for who you are, because in this lies what we have become through faith in the Lord Jesus. But we do ask our God for our daily bread, the things that we need, so that our lives can be lived for you, for forgiveness for sin, day by day, and for the sincerity to forgive others, as we ask you for forgiveness, and to be kept from evil by thy power. Oh, our God, we pray you would use us to glorify the name of the one who has done so much for us. And we do pray that our lives will count for the Lord Jesus. And Lord, before we close, remind us tomorrow and all of the tomorrows ahead of us to pray in sincerity these very same words or these very thoughts, that we would indeed receive as a result those things for which we ask. And we pray in the name of the one who has opened up heaven to us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.